Christ, the better have, or I'm going to kill myself. The amount of misfortune I'm after having already today, between me, wrong order and MacD's, which is really after throwing me. I got pissed on by a small child today.
Ew, oh, you dirty bitch.
Accidentally, of course. God bless him, I had to bring him to the toilet, and he just peed on me by accident. And I was like, stop peeing, stop peeing, stop peeing. And he was like, I'm sorry. I was like, it's fine, just stop peeing for a second.
It's so hard to stop peeing, though.
Oh, no, to be fair to him, he did. He was like, and he's like,
not the fucking sound effects.
Yeah, honestly.
I was like, it's okay. And I was like, just please don't pee on me again. And he's like, I won't, I'm sorry. I was like, it's fine. Nearly got sick, but look. And then the misfortune of this fucking recording not working, I swear to God.
Look, if we ever had luck on any of this, it would be a day. It really would. But
if we
never
ever had luck, we'd be doing well.
Truly.
Obviously, because we had fucking luck, but do you know what I mean?
No, we just can't win. We really can't. It doesn't matter how much we try. Even just today, the fact that like none of our internet seems to be working is fucking with everything. So we'll see how this goes, because I'm fairly confident we'll disconnect only at exactly the pinnacle points where I'm saying something with like gusto.
Oh yeah.
And you'll That's miss always. It and then I have to repeat it and it has zero of the same effect. So...
No. Kiva, you told Look. Us beforehand you had something, like a fun little story.
She came up on my fucking Facebook, Irish Mirror.
Oh God.
Irish barista ends up in hospital after holding in farts around her boyfriend for 2
Silly bitch.
Cara Clark was at work in fucking...
Costa.
She was in work, she's a barista, but she... was with her boyfriend for 2 years and then she was inside work and she had really bad extreme stomach pain which landed her in hospital.
But, right, no, absolutely it is. But my question for Tara, are you with your boyfriend all the time that you can't, like, slip out like a little sneaky one?
Or even, like, when you go to the toilet or something.
Apparently
holding in farts causes appendicitis, so that's what happened to her. She got appendicitis and had to get it out. Yeah.
The more you know.
I didn't know that was a thing.
No. Yeah. I had appendicitis. I wonder, is that why? Because honestly, I'll hold a fart for the rest of my life if I'm around people.
I'll be like, nah, lads, if I'm comfortable, I ain't shitting on top of you. I'm just saying. Like, I will.
Oh, like, obviously, people I'd be comfortable with, it has to come out eventually, man. I have IBS. I actually can't hold it forever, but like.
Be a fucking liquid hole over here. Like, I'm surprised. No, but if it's around, like, new people.
Yeah.
If it's around new people, no. Or, like.
Or, like, co-workers and shit.
Yeah, no, like, I won't dare. Mm. Would you ever, sometimes, like, you would hold one in, and then if you're walking, it just starts, like, to...
slowly tip it out.
So.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. We should probably get cracking on with part 3, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive in. Okay, so, because we all use different sources for our research, we all kind of ended up with a bit of different information, and because of that... I have something I would like to add, but it surrounds the Nancy Fox murder, which Lizzie covered last week.
Mm.
So I'm going to go through the Nancy Fox murder again very quickly, purely because of a couple of small details that might answer some questions that we had last week, or in episode 1 as well. And yeah, so we already knew, like, he wrote the poem about Shirley, he wrote the poem about Nancy, but the reason, apparently, according to him... that he is obsessed with poetry is because he would get his mother or his grandmother or his aunt to read poems to him when he was young. And one that he became particularly obsessed with was The Spider and the Fly. And we were wondering how the fuck this wee young child at about 11 got interested in bondage. Apparently this is why.
Okay.
Because he...
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this was really fucked up as well.
Do tell.
He saw a link, he said, to Stalker... ruse, bondage, and death. The spider web was bondage, and he used to feed insects he found to spiders, and then he would get turned on when the spider ate the fucking insect that he gave it.
Ew.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And this was like around that age, so he said that's what started him into like the whole idea, and then he eventually realized like it was bondage that he was kinking into.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't cop straight away when he was, like, 11 that it was like, oh, I like this because it's, like, bondage.
I was going to say, yeah, he knew there was... How the fuck does still an 11-year-old know what that is? But, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, he knew there was a correlation between, all right, the like, capture of this insect mm-hmm. and the like binding of it. So he kind of knew there was something about it. He just didn't know it was bandage yet.
Right.
That's why.
Ew, a fucking spider.
Spiders. Imagine. He would get a fucking hard on. Because of spider webs.
Pathetic.
And like he would just sit on sunny afternoons watching spiders build webs. And I'm like,
do you know, right? He's that much of a wuss, right? I guarantee you, if he walked into like an old attic, right? Walked face first into a spider web, he's pissing himself.
Oh, fact.
He's pissing himself. He is.
Fact. He'd probably go down crying to his mum asking for a bit of fucking hand sanitizer, like.
Yeah. Like he's screaming, rolling around the floor, trying to peel his face off.
To add to another reason why I'm going back over to Nancy Fox murders, because this is... Did we go into the code names? Did we go into the code names of his fucking kills?
No, we only touched on what he wanted to be addressed as.
Yes, yeah. we went over his preferred names, but we did not go into the code names yet because they only started around Nancy Fox. Obviously, Nancy Fox's murder was nicknamed Project Foxtail.
Fuck off.
Oh, double old twat. Fuck off.
Also, simply Project Fox or Project Fox Hunt. And his reasoning...
Okay, that's the best one, to be fair.
Fox Hunt.
It's better than fucking Foxtail.
It's definitely better than Foxtail. And even in his description of it, he would bounce between the three names for it. So he obviously couldn't decide which one he liked best.
Which one, you fucking loser.
It's called a code name. No. That's a code name, singular.
If you're calling him a loser now, just wait 2 seconds for his fucking explanation as to why. It's not even just because her last name was Fox. Nay, nay. No, he had a deeper, much more meaningful reason for this, you see.
Was your head?
Fox sounded like sex. It doesn't, but Fox sounded like sex.
In what
and foxes
word?
Are hard to catch.
No. He made that up afterwards. He was like, oh, he did. Haha, and it sounds like sex. Like, it also doesn't, but okay.
Like, in any sense, like, Dennis, both of the only thing they have in common is that they're both three-letter words. Congratulations.
That end in X. That's all he needed. I shit you not, that is all he needed. He had an obsession with the number three as well. He, like, everything had to revolve around three. Even if it happened to him accidentally, he would find the correlation of three. So, meaning if, like, a child was nine, he'd be like, sure, that's three trees.
Why?
Yeah. So the three letters, the BTK, sex being three letters, fox being
Christ
three letters.
Almighty.
Yeah, it all played into his supposed symbolism. Right?
So embarrassing.
He is so embarrassing.
Oh my God, I'm actually mortified.
It gets worse. It gets worse, because we're not done explaining why.
It doesn't need to get worse.
Operation Fox was so meaningful. You know why? Because the date that he chose to kill her was close to the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, and this was a sneak attack.
Ew. I
That's honestly more far-fetched than Fox sounded like sex. Honestly.
It was a sneak attack.
It was a sneak attack.
And it's near the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Near.
Yeah, it wasn't even close enough.
I have such a pain behind my eyes.
But I carry on, because somehow I'm not done with why this was such a great murder.
For the love of fucking God.
He killed her in December. So the year was ending, and winter was the end of the life cycle.
I hate him. No, I honestly, and I'm actually not even saying this to be dramatic, I actually feel like teeny bit ill. Like, I'm going to be fucking sick.
I'm not even going to respond to that. I'm actually not even going to fucking dignify that with a fucking response. He's so... Anyways, okay.
Yep.
Okay, it was very important, very meaningful. He did
pulling symbolism out of his fucking hole.
Like the poet, he wasn't. So, yes. Now, we're just going to run through the murder real quick, because like I said, I think there's a couple of details that I found particularly fucking sad-sacky we didn't get in the other sources. So, he chose Nancy Fox for those deep, deep reasons to be his next project. And he started stalking her, and he really did his homework this time to know there was no brothers or boyfriends or dogs that would interrupt his sick little fantasies becoming reality. He practiced breaking in with a window that was similar to Nancy's and described the thrill of breaking into someone's territory and that it's like a mental rape.
Ew!
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Shut up, like.
He was mentally raping them by breaking into their houses.
this is yet again him trying to find meaning in other things. Like,
oh, definitely.
It's mentally, like, shut up. How about shut the fuck up? How about that? How about
he just couldn't admit
up?
That he killed for the sake of killing, like, couldn't be doing that.
Like,
he
Dennis,
was much
just
more
say you're a fucking loser
that.
And be done with it, like.
See, you want to fucking cosplay as fucking Charlotte, like, you absolute
honestly.
Sad case.
That he got a fucking window that was similar to the one he was going to be breaking in through in Nancy's so that he could practice cutting into her house.
A window's like, a window. Well, or a single pane, double pane, triple pane. It's a fucking window.
A window's a window. Do you know what I mean? It does not matter. It doesn't. And considering, like, he used all sorts of tools, it wasn't like he had to learn how to fucking expertly crack the lock like he's breaking into safes. Like, sad sack.
He put his fucking hand through it. Well done, Dennis.
Genuine.
Surprised all glass weirdly breaks the fucking same.
Oh, no, he used a glass cutter. He wasn't, like, it's only in one that he smashed the window in. He moved on to a glass cutter now.
For what?
He got himself a fucking glass cutter for his B&E kit, which was different to his murder kit. Don't get that mixed up. And he had a glove and fucking, like, duct tape so that the glass didn't shatter. So he made minimum noise. Yeah.
He's just this man.
Yeah. It's like you can literally see already by this murder he's trying so hard to make up for the fuck-ups of the previous ones.
100%. And do you know what it is? He, as well, because he was bitching, literally, in the newspaper and to the cops, how he's not been given the same coverage, he doesn't have the same notoriety as previous people performed, like Bundy and Ramirez and all them kind of lads.
Yeah.
So he's quite literally trying to make it out that he's as well thought out, very sophisticated killer by going and buying a fucking glass cutter. All this kind of shit. Yep. Like, Dennis, no one actually
genuinely.
Cares. You still did something foul, right? Okay, so no one actually cares the prep that you did before it. Because we're just going to make fun of you. Because you can't ignore everything that happened in the past. You can't.
Exactly.
The amount of fuck-ups you made.
It's done now.
Nobody's overlooking that.
It can't be undone.
Can't be undone. You're an embarrassing fool.
Not only that. You started it with your first murder of four people and fucked it up royally. So that's what you're remembered for now immediately. So what are you on about?
And you know what? No one's remembering him really for, like, not the murders, obviously. Everybody, when they think of him, is picturing that gimpy picture of him hanging out with the tree.
Facts. He did that. He cut in with a glass cutter and he sat in her kitchen waiting for her. And now we know already what happened. Yeah, Nancy came home. She was like, what the fuck are you doing here? He told her, as Lizzie said last week, that he just wanted to take some pictures. He had a sexual problem and he would leave her alone after he took pictures of her. Nancy smoked a fag and said, fine, let's get this over with so I can call the police. Again, bringing it up because I don't remember this being mentioned last week and I just think it's such a fucking, again, it's him. Oh, I'll get to it. You'll know exactly what I'm about to say before, once I get to the point. But she went to the bathroom and he allowed her to go, but he instructed her to come back out undressed. And she left her sweater on and asked him not to take it off when he tried to. So he didn't. And he said, that's just another example of how much I respected our victim's wishes.
Excuse me? The victim wished not to die, Dennis, and you just totally ignored that. So how about you shut the fuck up?
Do you know what I mean? Strangled her to death, but sure, at least you left her keep her nips fucking covered, like.
And out of all things, your boobs. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like, fair enough, yeah, to know, she obviously wanted to keep it on for a reason, or probably that reason.
Of course.
Of being like, well, you know he's going to do bits, but, like, at least I can maybe keep my modesty up top. But, like,
but then
he genuinely thought he was a fucking A1 person for letting her keep her jumper on.
It reminds me of your man. What was his fucking name? That tit with the bunker.
Leonard Lake.
Yeah, when he was like, oh, yeah, like, I'm really into... Was it, what did he say he was really into to one of the girls? He said he was really into something fucked up. And he was like, it would turn me on. What was it that he liked, like, hitting people or something?
Oh, yes. And he was like, but I know you wouldn't like that, so I won't do it.
Yeah. And then he was like, you know, like, trying to be really fucking, I was really nice to her in that state. Like, you fucking killed the person.
I am putting myself out by not beating you up. But it's exactly that. It is exactly that logic, like.
Idiot.
He strangled Nancy. And then he went off to steal. And he said he liked stealing jewellery because of his Viking gene.
Sorry?
That's actually not a thing. That's not a thing.
Cl- kleptomania is a fucking genetic trait, like. And also, how do you... People don't know if they're Vikings, like. You don't know if you're a Viking.
My Viking.
But wait, can we actually take about 10 steps back, right? Okay, so if you're taking... Right. No, I actually need to get comfortable now because I'm vexed. Right. So, right. He's saying that the Viking thing about him pillaging, okay, was in his genes, right? So he couldn't help that. But yet he let her keep her clothes and a modesty because he's a good person. So does the pillaging and the raping with the Vikings not come fucking hand in hand? Dennis, are you just selective of what's in your Viking genes or not?
Oh, but you see, that must be it, because... He never actually raped anyone. He thought he was above sexual molestation. And he thought he was then better than the other killers going around at the same time as him because he never raped anyone. He just murdered and came on them.
You just said that you were a Viking.
And you also said as well before, Dennis, so actually get a grip, that you wanted to keep two small children as sex slaves. So
yeah,
how about you actually get a grip?
And the amount of times he has mentioned, oh, I thought about raping her anus in, like, all of his letters to... Which I forgot to actually... Excuse me. I forgot to cite my source for this week, which is Confessions of a Serial Killer, The Untold Story of Dennis Rader, the BTK Killer, by Catherine Ramsland, PhD. And it is all written from letters that he wrote to her and whatever she could do to try and make it grammatically and timeline cohesive.
Yeah.
Other than that, this is all in his own words, which makes it even more fucking tragic. On to him being a great guy again. He thought about gifting some of Nancy's jewellery to his wife, but then he thought, nah, a bit much that now, innit?
Oh, because that's bad form.
That's bad form. Taking it isn't, but giving it to your wife now.
And what you had to do to take that jewellery, like, that wasn't bad form either. Like,
No, it's totally cool.
Also, you know, being his wife, being gifted fucking presents that were taken off a person that your husband fucking murdered. Because, you know, that's good juju.
Like, he's damning his wife by proxy.
Oh, 100%.
But alas, I digress. The next day, he must have been real proud of himself for finally committing a murder to plan. Because his need for attention drove him to call the police himself and report the murder and get the investigation rolling. So when they hadn't discovered her body by like 9 o'clock the following morning, he was like, you know what? I may just call it in myself.
Oh yeah, like he was not having anybody else take fucking credit for that, and he knew for a fact that he was going to find her for a couple of days.
So the police even played recordings of the call on the news, and Denny would sweat buckets every time he heard it. Yet somehow nobody ever recognised his voice. And he did say that he muffled the receiver with a handkerchief. When he talked to them, and
that's
like,
just talking like this. Like, you can fucking say, no, it's me. Like, everybody has a
like,
tonal
I would
voice.
Definitely know that was you.
You know what you mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, everybody has an accent. Everybody has an accent. Everybody has some sort of fucking tone to their voice that you can tell it's them.
Exactly. And even if they were like talking, putting something on, and you hear like a certain word, and you're like, is that fucking Denny?
I remember once when it was when we were in college, right? And. Mm-hmm. Me, Kiva and Kleena were walking, somewhere, could have been home from the cinema or something, pitch black, right? One of the lads that, like, I used to talk to, like, he used to live in the same place as us, right? Hadn't seen this chap in over a year. We walked by him and I said something, like, it was just one word. I was like, oh, fuck off. Or so, it was like the way I said something and I heard someone go, Lizzie? And I just turned around and went, yeah. Like, who's this? And it was like, Jesus fucking Christ, I knew that was you. Just by me saying one fucking word, they knew it was me. And yeah. I hadn't seen them in a year. You're telling me a wife or a co-worker, somebody that he goes to fucking church with, some bollocks like that, couldn't tell
you
it's
know what
him
I mean?
By going,
oh, it's gonna...
You know what I mean?
And the BTK.
Are you sure?
And it wouldn't even have been that muffled, like he put a hanky over the fucking phone. Like
literally, like a hanker fucking chief, like... And he probably
that's just like
it
talking. Like, Kiva, do you know when you're on phone to us when you're in the groomers and you put your phone in your pocket? Like, that's exactly what it's like.
Nothing came of him ever calling them anyway. Like, obviously they went and they investigated and they found her dead and they knew it was VTK who did it, but, like, they never caught him through the voice or anything like that. And, yeah, he got away with that once again, even though they very easily should have caught him there. They should have very fucking easily gotten there. But now, we have the description of Factor X according to BTK.
No, I know exactly what you're going to say.
Are you ready for some stretches with X words? I will mention this at least three times. Like, I've already done once. This is my second. I think there's one more. There could be a fourth. Okay. Where Factor X comes from, the mystery force that drove him as a killer, is about as convoluted as everything else that he ever wrote. And that is, the X comes from sex. Were you expecting that? Were you ready for that?
I'm actually so shocked. Oh my god.
Because at the end of it all, the whole point was to achieve some sexual gratification from the murder. The S was for sadism, to go with the S&M and bondage part of it.
Why didn't he say S for sex?
Oh, see, no, the S, all of a sudden it wasn't just Factor X anymore. This is what I mean, that the explanation is convoluted, because he stops explaining the X from sex and starts explaining the word sex as a whole separate anagram. I probably should have explained that better before I started.
No, that's fine, go on.
Yeah, he goes from explaining where Factor X comes from, and it comes from sex, and the X is just from sex itself. It has no meaning. It's just the end of sex. And then the S was for sadism, and E being the event itself.
Oh, fuck's sake, man. Christ.
X was just the unknown commodity that turned him into a murderer.
That's the worst anagram I ever heard. He could have said E for evil.
Literally.
E for fucking energy. E for fucking anything. Event.
You know what I mean?
So he's basically saying he's a glorified event planner.
Basically.
Oh, no. I mean, yes, actually. I was about to argue, but no, yes. Like, instead of it being a wedding or a fucking birthday party, it's just a little murder. Like, it's exactly that.
Fucking idiot.
He also said, because we did discuss this as well in episode 1, and I think even 2, that, you know, a lot of people are trying to find the trademark things or blame his mother or whatever.
Yeah.
For there had to be something. There has to be something in his childhood that caused him to be like that. And even in his letters to this author, which is after he was in prison, he said that he would love it. He would fucking love it if he could blame it on his childhood. If he had the backstory of like Pee Wee Gaskins or somebody like that.
Yeah.
You know, where he had the full chronic fucking childhood. But he said he can't, because he actually had a great childhood. Raised Christian, like given loads of love by his mother and father, aside from the fact that like the mother and father worked a lot, but he was given extra love from his fucking grandparents then in lieu of his parents when they were working. Mm-hmm. So there was 0% wrong with him. He was never beaten apart from like getting a fucking few cracks across the arse cheek from his mother. Literally, yeah. Like his father never raised a hand to them, but the mother would give them the few whacks with a switch, which is like, you know, basic random enough, hand. Like the grandmother did it as well.
Yeah.
And like, even at that, like he said, the grandparents used to beat the shite out of like the cousins and some of his brothers, but they never once hit him.
Unless he blocked something out, like, which is very possible.
I know, Cuiva, to be honest. Stop fucking trying to give him credit.
I don't think so.
I appreciate it, but no, just like he's just a piece of shit.
In my episode as well at the start, like the psychologist was saying that he thinks something has to have happened to trigger it, because he was normal until he all of a sudden wasn't.
Yeah, but he says it himself that it's not that he all of a sudden changed, it's he lost control. He describes it as a volcano. That
he was always fucking near something there.
Yeah. And then over time events happen and there's like a crack and a cooling period. So depending on the slight size of the eruption, the longer of a cooling period it needs. And he just said his first eruption happened in 73 and that was it. He was able to keep it under wraps up until then, but
yeah,
he was always like this. He said he used to fucking build cat traps in his grandparents' house because the grandparents wouldn't have noticed one or two of the cats, farm cats going missing. And then he would like dig holes and bury them to hide them up when they would like dig for fish and bait. So he's always been a sadistic little fuck. He just hid it really well. And he had no cause for it other than him.
Dirty little bastard.
That's my theory on it anyway. We'll get to the end, because once we get to the end of this episode, you'll get more convinced that it's just that reason that he did it, as I did. But we'll discuss our theories right at the end then, and what we think of that. In June 1978, his daughter was born, and he considered turning himself into a psychiatric ward to keep him safe from the police and stop more victims from happening, apparently. I think if he was doing it, it was to keep himself from getting fucking caught and not to stop potential victims from dying.
Oh, 100%. He couldn't give less of a fuck about it.
No.
Anybody else dying?
No way. No, if he was thinking about it, it was to cover his own arse.
Mm-hmm.
Also, to save his family, the shame of being found out as, like, of him being found out as a serial killer and piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually his boner took over any of the consequences that his family would face for his actions. So, in the middle of him just having a fresh baby right out the womb, he managed to find himself the time to go out trolling again. But, I mean, I guess somewhat luckily, between 78 and 79, he didn't really have much luck. He had many potential victims that he had picked out, but he wasn't able to track their schedules too well, so he never managed to get as far as making them a project. Or if he tried, then he failed miserably. Leads me to one of my absolute favourite failures in the BTK career. And that is Anna Williams. And I don't know if I'm pretty sure we left this in. Is that I have been waiting for a particular poem to come up in this series. And this is it. But quick backstory. Anna Williams seemed a bit of a strange victim for Denny because she was 63 years of age, so quite a bit older than his usual victim type.
Yeah.
But that's because she wasn't the original target. What he was actually targeting was her 24-year-old granddaughter, Rebecca, and he mistook her for the owner of the house. Because all he would do, like, he'd get the address and then he would go and cross-reference it in, like, the Yellow Pages and find out who lived there. So that's how he got his victims' names. So he saw Rebecca there helping her granny out, but didn't know that it was actually, like, she wasn't Anna.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, this poem is then technically meant for Rebecca, not Anna, but still. Yeah, so he also had no way of knowing that Anna's husband was dead, and he expected to have to immediately tie him up with strong bonds and tape a plastic bag over his head or simply shoot him so that there could never be another Kevin Bright, his greatest shame.
Our man Kev.
He is still to this day fucking distraught that Kevin was there. Kevin has fucked this whole man's life up for the rest of his serial killer career, and I hope he knows that.
Fucking delighted.
Kevin injected himself into fucking Denny's head, and I'm so happy about it.
Anytime you call him Denny, I just think of the sausages. And I can't stop myself. And it upsets me, because Denny's sausages are fucking cracking.
Honestly.
It's very upsetting.
But I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have liked being called Denny, so...
We definitely
Denny it is.
Ew, what if he thought it was like a cute pet name?
Ew.
I just go back to calling him Dildo then.
Yeah. Dildo Baggins, because he honestly looks like a fucking hobbit.
Fucking Dildo Baggins.
Listen, if your name, if your fucking initials are going to be DL, I'm going to call you Dildo, and that's just...
That's it.
100%.
But honestly, that's an insult to dildos everywhere, because at least they're useful and can make a woman come.
No, he's definitely one of those, he's one of those fucking fantasy dragon ones that are like spikes and shit.
Push out eggs and shit.
Either that or like one of those really like...
Agreed, okay, no, he's just a shit dildo then.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm actually taking it back. He's not one of those fantasy ones, because they look kind of cool. They don't look like they're my
boy. Anyway, besides the point, we move on and we go for my favourite fucking poem. Because neither Anna, nor the dead husband, nor the fucking Rebecca were harmed in this story. Because Dennis is a fucking moron. We get, "Oh, A, why didn't you appear? Drop of fear, fresh spring rain would roll down from your nakedness. To scent to lofty fever that burns within. In that small world of longing, fear, rapture and desperation, the games we play fall on devil ears." Fantasy springs forth, mounts to storm fury, then winter, clam at the end. Not calm, clam.
I'm just going to stop you there really quickly, because it reminds me of It's Always Sunny. You know when Dennis is like...
Yes.
You know, he gets really angry and he's like, what is the fucking... Do you know when he goes fucking ape and he's like, oh... I'll rain down the rage of 1,000 suns or some shit.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. You're not going to do shit. Like, well, he did, but you know.
I mean, in this one, he didn't. So it's fine. Oh, A, why didn't you appear?
Oh, fuck off.
Alone now, in another time span, I lay with sweet enrapture, garments across most private thought, bed of spring moist grass, clean before the sun, enslaved with control. Warm wind scenting the air. Sunlight sparkled tears in eyes so deep and clear. Alone again, I trod in past memory of mirrors and ponder why you number 8 was not. Oh, A, why didn't you appear?
Oh my fucking God, you actual
warm
sadness.
Wind scenting the air. Like, Dennis, you've literally just described a fart. Number 1.
And it's also the old A is really bringing me back to my Pretty Little Liars fucking trauma of watching that show.
Oh my God, no, stop.
A fucking show is right that they should be a fucking shame of themselves that they made that because it was shite. But what was that last but also, line? Like, no.
And ponder why you number 8 was not.
Yeah, what the fuck?
That
was
one.
That?
That's the one that got me the most.
What was that, Dennis?
Like, I know the intention was that I'm wondering why you weren't my 8th victim, but and ponder why you number 8 was not.
The man is outrageously illiterate. Like,
illiterate. Like, it would be an insult to dyslexics to call him that because he's genuinely.
Oh, he's literate.
Like.
I'd love
and outrageously so.
Oh, it seems by choice.
If you put him into the fucking Leave Insert English syllabus for poetry. Because people would have so much fun dissecting him.
Oh, truly.
We do.
Looking for the hidden meaning in BTK's poetry.
Do you imagine?
Like an unseen poem that and it's BTK. I would fucking die dead.
But what's worse about it is he tried to deny that he like made these spelling mistakes. By mistake. He said he fucking did it deliberately
to
try and throw off the police.
Are you sure I did it on purpose?
And I'm like, what?
How was you spelling clam and calm? How was you misspelling that?
How was that?
And throwing off the police.
I reckon his thing was like, oh, well, I act like a well-educated man. So if I say I misspelled it so that they thought they were looking for someone less educated than me, then they'll buy it.
Oh my God. Like, I'd understand if the spelling mistakes were like that they spelled out something. Like, you know, in Series of Unfortunate Events, I don't know if you've read the books, but like your one wrote a note basically saying, and she spelled shit wrong and stuff, and it ended up spelling
out.
Yeah,
and that's how they found the clues.
Yeah.
Clues, I mean. Yeah.
If he was doing something like that, I'd say, you know.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, cool.
Fair enough, yeah. Like, you're trying to look illiterate and it was actually, meanwhile, a secret code. No, you're just a fucking stupid cunt.
No.
And you're just literally illiterate. Someone just has to have a conversation with you. Yeah. And they'll realise that you're not, like, intellectually sound.
At all. Considering you couldn't even explain Factor X without bringing up, like, sex for the second time in my notes alone. And it's going to happen again. Like, he just can't have a cohesive thought. It's not possible for him.
Man's if he riddled with ADHD as well. The fact that he's so fucking impulsive and can't stick to a literal plan that he has methodically done out for months.
Yeah.
Riddled.
Because it's like, you think if your original victim isn't going to work out, you just kind of go home. You're not like, well, best do something today and just go pick someone else where you might get fucking caught. Like, at least like paints himself as so careful then. Were you actually? Please now. Denny then got fucked over again and again by life. Being like, hey, maybe don't be a murderous piece of shit. Because he finished his bachelor's in administration of justice and thus lost his excuse to be out late at night. So he couldn't go on his little fucking scouts to go pick up fucking victims or potential victims.
Great band.
Literally scouting for girls.
Like, not a good extracurricular activity?
No. Then he also ended up having to play the family man more at home. And Paula came home once again to find him choking the chicken and himself in the hallway.
Oh, fuck.
Jenny's in the fucking hallway. Christ. She caught you in the bedroom the last time. That's meant to have a bit of privacy.
Honestly. This time in the fucking hallway. Like, are you trying to get caught? Because it sounds like you are.
The postman could have walked in on him. Could have been...
Any of his children.
And nearly gets his eye poked out.
The fucking in-laws lived a couple of houses up the street from them.
Imagine one of the children walking in.
Do you know, can you imagine walking in on your father fucking spanking the monkey with a rope tied around his neck? You would never be okay again.
No,
you wouldn't. Suicide. In the fucking hall. I'd say that a lot. That's definitely like a bit of a exhibition thing of he like what kind of nearly half. That made it more exciting for him.
He was, yeah.
Like he definitely left the door unlocked on purpose and shit like. On the oh my god, mate.
And then
like,
when she like, came in, he put his hand over his mouth, like,
like, don't drag other people into your fucking weird fantasies. Like,
yeah, I hate that's so weird that people do. Like, the people that, like, and I'm all for people being as weird as they fucking want to be. Like, you know what I mean? You do you, boo. Great for you. But do you know, just out in public where, I don't know, there's those people that, like, walk someone like a dog and, like, have them chained on leashes and shit. Yes. Like,
yes.
It's, like, that's fine.
Like, in the privacy of your own home.
Like, other people have to see that shit.
But go to kink-friendly places. Go to, like, fetish clubs or go places where it's wanted. Like, there's...
But, like, when I'm walking my actual dog in the dog park, I don't want to see you and fucking Tony down on his knees shitting into a plastic bag. Like...
It's actually something I could do without.
Yeah.
But even for people that are, like, our age and, like, it would fuck us up. Like, imagine a kid seeing something like that. Like, it's... Yeah. Like, someone who's, like, young and, it could influence someone for their whole life, like, seeing something like that.
And, like, it's not even necessarily the ones that actually dress like dogs and stuff as well. Like, because to be honest, that bit's kind of funny and you get a kick off it. It's when, like... You can tell that it's sexual. Yeah.
Yeah, I would take a furry over, like, a real person walking around barking any day.
Yeah.
Oh, furry's absolutely great time for them. Anyways.
There was a girl on, you know, Joan Santagato's podcast, and she was talking about how she's in, like, a kinky relationship, whatever, but that she went to college with her boyfriend's cum all over her face.
Oh, yeah, I remember her, yeah. And, like, and I was people like, would be like, oh, what moisturizer are you using? And she'd be like, ha, ha, ha.
But she would leave it, like, on her face that you could tell what it was. And I was like, that's not... Like, the people around you going to college as well don't need to be seeing that shit either, like.
No, they don't.
Honestly.
Do you know? But anyways, that's besides the point. It's just about...
Like, I don't want to see the crispy fucking cum flaking down onto your notes while we're in fucking sociology, Megan.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Like, do what you want. Absolutely do what you want. But there's a time and a place. And it's not when other people have not fucking consented to be involved.
Yeah.
And dragged into your kink.
This is exactly it. This is literally a law in Germany. Genuinely. You have the right to do whatever the fuck you want. You can walk out head to toe covered in fucking swastikas if you want to, so long as nobody else can see it. The second you reveal that to somebody else, you're getting arrested. That's it. You can do whatever weird fucking shit you want to do in the privacy of your own home or your own kink groups or wherever the fuck.
Away from,
but do not make me fucking a witness to it.
But I don't want to be part of your, like... like, fucking getting you off because I'm uncomfortable. Yeah. That's basically the thing, like, is that my discomfort is doing shit for you, and that's kind of gross.
Yeah, if you're into fucking autoerotic asphyxiation, then cool. It's not that. But don't do it in front of your fucking, like, wife and children's front door where they might be walking in.
And, like, at any moment.
That's all we're saying. Yeah. A time and a place.
Even if it was I feel like it's the fact that his kids live there. If it was just his wife and it was something they did, I'd be like, fair enough.
Yeah, they did it together, but he knew full well already that she wasn't into it.
Yeah.
Like, she tried reading books and everything on like, fetishism and S&M and all of that, and, like, she just couldn't get into it, so they just pretended it wasn't a part of his kinks. You know what I mean? Mm. So he knows full well she's not into it, and she never is going to be.
That's definitely why he was doing it. That definitely was the draw.
Yeah.
To gross her
out. It definitely was. Like, it was a danger wank on top of everything else.
Oh, 100%.
But it didn't work out in his fucking favour because she was furious and she made him sleep on the couch for 2 days, after which she finally did give in, but she told him one more wanky strike and it was divorce for the pair of them.
As she should.
He kind of got a bit of a shock from that because he was like, oh shit, like she's saying the D word. Because I think he just thought Paola was fucking stupid enough to hang around there and stay with him forever, no matter what he did.
He had such a complex about himself. Oh. Like, you have not one thing that's alluring about you. Not one thing.
No. As it turns out, I was going to mention this a bit later on, but it makes no odds. This is, like, the perfect time for it now. So, people like him, and who else did they say had it? Like, Ted Bundy had it. Plenty of the other ones. Most of them had it. Yeah. But it's more than narcissism. It's called narcissistic immunity. And it's a genuine mental condition where they don't just believe, like, you know, narcissists, they believe they're better than you and like they manipulate you into doing their will kind of thing and they don't really give a shit who they step on.
Yeah.
It's above that. It's that they believe that nothing they do is wrong. It can never be wrong and they can never be touched for it.
So literally like a God complex.
It's literally like a God complex, but even worse.
Yeah.
So narcissistic immunity.
Ted and Dennis. Sorry, can we actually just, now that we're talking about these absolute hamheads for a second, how boring are all like these big bastards of like their serial killers? Ted and Dennis. Ted and fucking Dennis. Richard.
And just
Dick.
Richard. Dick Bacon.
Link.
Honestly. They are the most vanilla people who think themselves full of the world's spices. And it is just amazing to me. It's amazing.
It's like when white people back in the day discover scald.
And never discovered a single spice since then.
Like the white people that went all the way around the fucking world looking for shit and then they don't know what bay leaves are. They're like, why is there a leaf off a tree in my food?
Stop. And actually complaining, like sending food back because there's a leaf inside.
Like white people literally colonized like fucking everywhere looking for these fucking shagging spices and then what? Don't even use them.
Yeah, but they sold them instead of using them. That's exactly it. They sold them on to other countries who knew how to season food. But anyway, this fucking unseasoned chicken breast, I would just like to mention also, he referred to fucking Ted Bundy as Ted from the East Coast.
Oh, as if you're pals.
Oh. As if they were pals.
Give over, like, Dennis. You embarrassing fool.
Do you know another
Ted would have bullied you as well. Even though he worked at like a suicide hotline, he would have told you to go kill yourself.
Like, why does he need like a descriptor? Like, we all, like, you know who Ted is. Why is, oh, Ted from, like, do you know a different one?
Ted from the West Coast.
Oh, we have a Ted from the East, do we, as well?
Like, what are you going to say? Oh, I'm Dennis from the Midlands.
Because I genuinely...
Are you actually with?
When I read it,
I was like, Dennis, like,
is Ted from the West Coast like another serial killer that I don't know about? Because I could not fathom that he was referring to Ted Bundy as that.
Fucking Christ.
He's a fair
sad
fucking sad case.
Oh, he really is.
I mean, he's from Kansas, like, I don't know why we thought he'd be anything other than, like... Like, if you're going to get a serial killer from Kansas, they're going to be a gimp.
And vanilla as fuck. Like yeah. It does explain why he's an unseasoned chicken breast. You're absolutely right.
Sorry, I looked up where he's from, right? And he is, like, on the border of fucking Missouri. And he's right by Oklahoma as well. Like, this man is... Listen, no shade to people who are from there, but you don't have cool serial killers. I mean, we don't either.
Midlands, Dennis. I'm not over this.
He promised her that he would change, but of course he just changed the location of Disneyland, which is what he referred to as the self-gratification. That was Disneyland. So when he would jip because of fucking tying himself up or because of tying other people up, it was Disneyland. Childhood's ruined all over the country. Yeah. That only held him together for so long. So he picked a new victim, and that was his 53-year-old neighbour, Maureen Hedge.
Don't shit on your own doorstep.
Genuinely, he's like, I thought I was smarter than everyone else, but I did this anyway, even though I knew I shouldn't.
I just killed the neighbour lady instead.
Like, don't shit
on
your doorstep.
You honestly sounded like the sweetest woman as well, but he just decided to fucking kill his next door neighbour. Like,
as if the police wouldn't be asked coming to your still... door to ask you questions.
See, you think they would have done that, Lizzie. You think they would have done that, but they fucking didn't.
I know, it's the hot dog squad, so why am I in any way shocked?
It angered... He called it Project Cookie.
Oh,
I'm just going to keep powering through.
Please, I'm trying to look for reasons not to kill myself. And
what? I'll give you three guesses why it's Project Cookie.
Is it because she's an old lady and she bakes cookies? If it's going to be something...
Close enough. Okay. It is close enough. It's because she worked in a coffee shop.
She worked in a coffee shop. I know they sell more things than coffee. Obviously. I would have understood it
Wouldn't
more
you call
if she
it
worked...
Fucking, like...
I don't know, I would have...
In a bakery?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, wouldn't you call it, like, fucking, I don't know, Project Latte Macchiato or something? Like...
Honestly, caramel frappuccino, I don't understand.
Get it over quickly, then it's Project Espresso. Come
Project
on,
Espresso
something like...
is the perfect thing. Because it's classic and American, just like Dennis thought he was. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like, there are so many better ways that he could have done any of these things. And he just... like... When three people who don't want to be serial killers could be a better serial killer than you, you should be reassessing your life choices. That's all I'm saying. So as we said, it was very risky killing his neighbour, so he decided to change his methods a little to throw the cops off the scent that it was BTK. So he cut her phone line as usual and broke in, hiding in a closet until Maureen came home. Then... longer, until her friend who came home with her had left. Then after Maureen had fallen asleep, Denny came out and pounced on her, manually strangling her because the woman fought back and he wasn't for some reason expecting her to fight back. So he had to kill her without the ritual first. Like, he wanted to take her life.
Mm.
But then he realised, oh yeah, people don't like being kidnapped. So he had to kill her to subdue her.
Dennis, why are you shocked? Just because she's old, she's not going to crack you on.
She's literally 54 years of age. Like, you'd swear she's ancient.
Honestly, like.
53, actually.
But, like, sprightly why are young you woman. Shocked she's that people don't like being kidnapped?
Or.
Is that a surprise?
Then like, it's like, I doubt she liked to say hello to you when she saw you. Like, she's not going to be calm when she sees you in her fucking closet.
Oh, he wore the mask because he knew she'd recognise his face.
That's that fucking terrifying. His face.
Yeah, that fucking creepy ass mask coming out of your fucking closet in the middle of the night.
Ew.
He fucking scared the shite out of the cat just when he was scoping her house out. What did he think would happen when the actual woman saw him? Like, what's the logic?
Simple, Sally.
But anyway, he killed her. And then he wrapped her body up in blankets and carried them out to her car to move it. Now, this was the first time that he moved a body. And he said it was like moving a box of cement. He was worried, God bless him, that he might put his back out from the effort of it all. He did not expect a body to be as heavy as it was.
Oh, did him.
Poor fella.
So sorry, Dennis.
Like, I have all the sympathy in the world for you now.
Smallest violin here.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'm sure fucking Paula had a hot water bottle waiting for you at home. But if you're a few Norfin, yeah. You'll be fine.
Slap a couple of heat patches on you, you'll be grand.
Also, maybe harden up and go to the fucking gym once in a while, you ugly fucker. You fucking, I actually can't stand him.
Mm-hmm.
And also, honestly. How dare you? Don't fucking fat shame me after you killed me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's Dennis. So fucking rude.
No, you actually don't.
Like, you chose to kill me.
Yeah. Don't be fat shaming me.
Is it my fault that you then have to deal
worry about your hairline with the full and weight of my body? Listen,
if I knew I was going to be killed and kind of hoisted around the place, maybe I would have gone on a small bit of a diet. Maybe you'd give me a
would
heads
I
up.
Fuck I'd be eating more.
Yeah, actually, that's so true.
Yeah, but that's so true.
Regardless.
I'd swallow whole fucking dumbbells. I swear to God. Watch me.
Yep. We say God bless Denny and his broken back, but God would not be offering this cunt any blessings because his chosen second location for his pervy photo shoot was his very own Christ Lutheran church. And that was where he posed Maureen's body to take real bondage pictures with a stolen Polaroid.
I feel like Jesus would kind of frown on that, Dennis. You know what I'm saying?
Just a smooch. Just a scooch.
You know?
And like, he fully believes in God as well, or at least claims to heavily. So I'm like, if you fully believe in God and you're being a serial killer, wouldn't you at least have the fucking decency to keep it out of his house?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not even religious, and I was like, bit much.
Yeah, because you know when there's certain things you're like, oh, bad form.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's even like, no matter what religion you are, you still kind of, you have the same kind of feeling of respect towards like a mosque or a synagogue or whatever.
Yeah,
100%. Like a Catholic church or a Protestant church, whatever. Doesn't matter. You're still like, okay, that is somebody's holy building. Give it respect.
Yeah.
Like, but this is his own church that he was the director of, and he brought a dead body of his 53-year-old neighbour into it so he could sexually fucking pose it to take his sick little bondage pictures, and then probably came on her body as well while he was there.
Yeah,
like,
did,
in
yeah.
the church. And I'm very annoyed.
Sick.
I'm very annoyed by it. The murder was disrespectful enough, but then to go and do that, because it's probably even the same fucking church that she worshipped at on Sundays.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Then he brought her back out a country road and partially buried her under some leaves and small trees. The male friend that she had had over that night, he was obviously the last person to see her alive because he left at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Hmm.
He became suspect number one.
Of course.
In her murder. And it got made worse because when Dennis was leading her through into like the fucking, not leading her, she was dead, carrying her through into the fucking church. There was a load of like pine trees there and she got covered in pine needles. This poor Miss fucking Fortune of a man that she had as a friend, he worked cutting down pine trees.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So I don't think he ever did get charged, but like everyone for years was fully convinced that he killed Maureen. Because even though the phone line was cut and there was a B&E and shit was stolen, they never connected it to BTK because BTK left the bodies in the house. He did not take them
out. As if people just don't escalate, like, you know what I mean? It's a wild thing to assume.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that we're saying that, it is hard to give any credit to the hot dog squad for their many, many failings in trying to catch the BTK killer. But Dennis did kind of fall into the perfect time to become a serial killer at the same time. Because at the same time that he was terrorising multiple neighbourhoods, the likes of Ted Bundy, the Hillside Strangler, and even John Wayne Gacy were all being investigated and caught. And by 1985, we had our old friends from last season that ironically Quiva brought up earlier in the episode, Leonard Lake and Charles Ng, had just been discovered. So that's just scratching the surface. And while I know they're not all in Wichita or even surrounding it, they are taking up a lot of resources in the police. So the smaller police forces, then they weren't being funded to find the likes of BTK because they had much more fucking important people who had bigger murders. Mm. Like the fucking John Wayne and the Hillside Strangler. Like,
yeah.
And the Green River Killer was on the go at this point as well. Like there was just so many.
It was bitch tits.
There were so many in this time frame alone.
I'm not saying his name.
Which bitch tits though? There's a few.
The one that brought his great misfortune.
Oh, that bitch tits. Yeah. Fucking Pecan Prince.
Uh-huh. I feel like he was, you know.
I think, yes.
I think he was, you know.
I think he was in this time frame as well. Yeah. Like, most of them were between fucking 70 odd and 95, we'll say. Yeah. All of the worst ones. But they all happened to be killing at the same fucking time as BTK. And that made it so hard for them to investigate it then. Because as well, they weren't sure. Because a lot of them had the same MO. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were kind of binding people and killing them and strangling them. They weren't sure. They weren't sure, okay, is this BTK or is it fucking Green River Boy? Or is it fucking Hillside Boy? Is it Bundy? Is it Casey? Who the fuck is it?
Yeah.
I do have a bit of sympathy for the hot dog squad because they really had their work cut out for them.
Only slightly.
Yeah.
Because they refused to believe that all of those cases were connected in the first place. Yeah. So
it was definitely poor management at the same time that led to him not being caught as quick as he could have been. So Dennis as well, like at the time then in 1885 when all the news came out about Leonard Lake and Charles Ng. Well, don't you know, Dennis was like, this boy right here, my best friend. He was like, he's everything he wanted to be. Leonard Lake had his whole fantasy.
Imagine looking up to Leonard Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
You know, with the fucking the snuff films. He said, like, he makes snuff films. I like watching snuff films. He wanted a sex slave. I wanted a sex slave.
Fake, man.
You know? Like, literally, he was like, he does this. I do that.
Why don't you sit and braid each other's fucking hair, Dennis? With the little of it that you had left on your fucking scalp, you rancid bitch.
Sorry, I'm just imagining fucking Leonard Lake braiding it like literally in a line around the fucking back of his head.
Like the milkmaid braids, but just on the back of his fucking head.
Yeah, exactly that. Oh my god. But yeah, like even 2 years previous to that, before Leonard Lake, like in 83, we had one of the sickest fucks to grace the true crime community, which was Randy Kraft. And like Randy had what? You don't know about Randy Kraft? Oh my god, I can't believe you don't know about Randy Kraft. And I do. That's like, that never happened.
Don't look him up.
Surely. He had like, so they could only confirm, I think, 16. But he definitely had like 61 victims. And they were all overlooked. And some of them even put off as fucking accidental murders. Even though your man was fucking covered with a plastic bag and dismembered.
I've never heard of him.
Because it was all seen as icky because he was a gay killer.
I've never seen this.
Like fucking Dahmer.
Yeah, I know Randy.
Randy Kraft was a real sick
fuck.
Yeah,
I know Randy.
I knew it was going to be Randy.
I knew you had to know Randy.
He kind of looks like Billy from EastEnders.
Well, hang on a minute now because I'm going to have to see that comparison.
He looks like someone.
Oh fuck, he really does look like Billy Mitchell.
That's exactly who I was fucking thinking of. That's exactly who I was thinking of, Lizzie. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Billy fucking Mitchell.
It would have took me fucking years. I don't think I'd ever would have realised.
Man, it's shared mental illness. What you know, I know. And what I see, you fucking see.
Same brain.
Honestly, apologies to Billy Mitchell.
Just don't go accusing him of being
a bad
a
person
murderer.
To be fucking compared to.
Like fucking Les Dennis. Do you remember that?
Les Dennis.
Debacle.
Oh man, I was literally only looking at the Instagram post about it and fucking crying laughing that we had to apologise to Les Dennis for me calling them out in the Black Dahlia murders.
I never forget that. That was so funny. I was like, is he not your man? That was like the TV show host. And you're like, is it?
Fucking pretty sure Billy Mitchell never killed a whole bunch of gay men and drove around with the corpses in the car either. Okay?
That we know of.
Putting all my faith in you here, Billy. Right, we'd expect that from Phil or Grant, but not you.
Ah, no. Grant, maybe.
Ben. Oh, sorry. No, if anyone's doing Randy Kraft shit, it's Ben Mitchell.
It is.
Just putting that out there.
Ben Mitchell. Lads, will you fuck it?
For anyone who's not English or Irish, we are referring to EastEnders characters and we're not sorry.
Oh, you're so correct. That little fucking child was so annoying.
It oh my god, do you remember he got scalded with a teaspoon? Yes, that's when he was a little cunt.
All right, but lo and behold, not Billy, nor fucking Max Branning, nor anyone. Twas Randy Kraft, okay? Yeah, so like I said, the hot dog squad wasn't getting many results, but the rest of the police force was definitely being kept busy. Dennis's next kill came on his lunch break in work on September 16th, 1986.
Yes, you do. How'd you be afraid to take an extra fucking 5 minutes?
Do you know what I mean?
You're out there committing a whole fucking full-on murder. Like.
Honestly, I'd be like, oh, I was going to have a fag, but I've only got like 2 minutes left on my lunch break and it takes at least four to smoke a fag. Had this fella going off on a full fucking murder expedition, yeah. Like. And we're back to the ruse. And this time, he pretended to be a telephone repairman. And
this is a bad portal.
He decided to start with the house next door. Oh, this is definitely... No! Stop it! He started... Fuck's sake! You've ruined me for this episode.
You did this to yourself. You fucking started this.
Yeah.
I genuinely, I'm going to, when I'm editing this, I'm going to find the moment I started it because I know I
did. You did.
All I did was bring up Randy Kraft and you said he looked like Billy Mitchell. How was that my fault? Okay. Telephone repairman. He started at the next house so that it would look like he was scoping out the whole neighbourhood. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going to stop laughing in a sec because honestly it gets very tragic very quickly. So, and I mean tragic as in like BTK, Dennis Rader is a sad sack. Tragic, not like the murder was tragic. It was, but that's not the point that I'm on about. So Vicky became Project Piano. Why? Why already? I just said piano.
He's just so embarrassing, man. Project fucking piano. Yeah. Like.
Well, you might have guessed it's because he could hear her playing piano while he was stalking her. So,
man, that could have been the fucking radio.
Very creative, honestly. Either way, there was piano music involved. It was good enough for him because he actually said that it was a pity it wasn't organ music.
Ew.
Because piano and organ music reminded him of movies with minotaurs, which I'm sure we went into, which minotaurs was his word for like people like him, like serial killers, like strong men who overpower women.
Strong men who overpower women. Wow.
So hold on.
Every hold fucking on. Young lad in the world, like, get over yourself.
He's
like, you're stronger than a woman.
Looking man.
No, he was a minotaur.
Well, you had to overpower them with threat of a gun, not muscle mass.
Yeah,
though.
Honestly.
And then have actual weapons.
And you literally fully knew well that if any singular other man, all he needed was the sheer presence of a penis, and that was enough to intimidate him to run the fuck away. So, how strong were you?
Yeah, Dennis, come on, tell me. We were waiting.
How strong were you? But alas, it's, yeah, because he also considered, like, the Phantom of the Opera to be a minotaur. So, the organ music
God,
of Phantom of the Opera
give.
Would give him stiffies for days. Like, Viagra could never. Even down to the fact that with the organist for his church, she nearly, very nearly became Project Church.
Please stop. Please.
Please, Savannah.
Because he would get rock solid hearing her play and fantasize about how to get her. But then I guess he thought better of it.
She was definitely 75.
She was 100% 75. Like, when is an organist anything less than 75?
And she's completely arthritic. She has carpal tunnel for fucking days because she's been playing that organ like it's nobody's business for the last 55 years.
It's why she can play it so well. Her hands are permanently stuck in piano playing position. Like,
all she has to do is actually just physically lift her arms. That's it. Like a fucking claw. That's it.
Do you know what? That's probably why she was such a good fucking target, because she played the music that made him horny and he could snap her like a fucking twig.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
About you're like, able to be the easiest target.
I'm pretty
bones.
Sure.
Well done. Their bones are literally made of dust, Dennis.
Congratulations.
Well done.
I'm fairly sure that's why he upped the age range of his victim, is because they were one easier to control and two had less chance of having friends and like an active social life like young people.
Well, that's really sad.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's my thought.
But it is because...
No, I'm not saying that all people, like, people in their 50s don't have friends, but, like, you know, you balance out, you have less time for friends and shit like that. You don't see people as often
and
as
even
you
if you're
your
single, it's a case of, like, your friends have busy home lives and stuff.
Yeah, partners and stuff. Yeah. That's exactly it, like. So I reckon that's why he upped his age of his victim, but that being said, I mean... But I don't think Vicky was particularly, like, young or old. I think she was middle ground, like, late 20s, early 30s anyway. Mm. Besides the point, she was, yeah, kind of closer to his usual age range, but that was the end of that. He went over to Vicky's house after it worked the first time, like with the neighbours. He went, talked to them a bit about their phone, gave them some techie speech, that's what he said, to make it less suspicious. And then he went into Vicky. She left him in and he went over to the phone with like some fake device that he had that he was pretending was a phone tester. And then when she looked away for a second, he drew his gun on her. She obviously freaked the fuck out because she had like a 3-year-old son in the room.
Thank you.
And she was like, look, my husband's coming home for lunch. Like, he's going to be here any minute. And, you know, I've got other people coming over, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So he started panicking. Then he was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Basically, when he was describing this in the letters, because he was like, oh, always outside factors. I have the worst luck. And I'm like, you're a fucking murderer.
Yeah, like...
like, you're whinging that your murders are being interrupted by people and their social lives. Like...
how dare they?
How dare they be an inconvenience?
Like, how dare she have a husband that wants to spend time with her on his lunch break? How dare?
This is going to sound really bad, right? But I don't understand why he is picking people like that. Like, how, you know, normally they'll go after, like, sex workers and stuff. Like, I don't know why he didn't.
People that won't be
missed.
Yeah,
like, why...
I think because of what we said, because he wanted the notoriety, okay. Because
he wanted to be chased.
True.
The greatest serial killer to ever get away.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah.
Like, no one cares about the less dead. Definitely not in this time frame. Prostitutes, gay men, anything.
He wanted to go after people that would make a big deal.
Yeah.
He wanted the ones that would hurt the community the most. He led her back to the bedroom. He told her the same spiel that, like, he just wanted to tie her up and take some pictures and then he'd let her go. He wasn't going to hurt her kids. And he did keep his word on that. He decided after Josephine that he was done with killing children. And even though he was, like, somewhat proud of the way he murdered Josephine, he wasn't apparently, he wasn't proud of her age. So, I don't know. But he swore off of killing children after that. But I think that's more of a thing of he was like, oh, wait, this makes me, like, a real piece of shit if I'm a child killer as opposed to, like, just a regular killer. So I should probably stop killing kids.
Yeah.
I reckon that's the only thing. There was no remorse.
No, yeah, he definitely didn't give a shit.
Could have been. Like, yeah. I don't think so. But, like, it could have been. What do I know? Like, he could have genuinely felt bad that he killed a kid when he should have or shouldn't have. But he only said that about Josephine and not her fucking brother. So I
don't. Yeah, and that's right. And then he did go to kill those other three kids. Like, Shirley's kids. Only that the phone rang.
Yeah. Which he said to himself in the book as well previously before he said, oh, I decided to stop killing kids. Aside from Josephine, like... because he was talking shit about John Wayne Gacy for being a kid killer. So he basically would talk shit about anyone. Like, he talked shit about Bundy for getting caught. He talked shit about Gacy for killing kids. Like, loads of shit. And I'm just like,
Dennis, you've actually done that. And then you still wanted to keep them as sex slaves in your afterlife. So...
and you fantasize about preteen girls still. So it doesn't make you any better that you've just slightly stopped killing them. So he tied her up. But he didn't tie her up very well. And she broke out of her restraints. You think he would have learned? He didn't. So she broke out of her restraints and started fighting him. And
how shitty is he doing this? Like, fucking tie a knot and fucking just tie it.
Yeah, he definitely.
It's not hard.
Not only did he go to the...
it's not hard.
It's not. He didn't just go to the Boy Scouts as a kid. He was then the Boy Scout leader,
which,
as an adult, because his son was
like,
in
it's not a case of that. Maybe he was kind of doing it on purpose to kind of spice it up a little.
No, definitely. Definitely no. Not.
I was
definitely
trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but...
no.
Yeah.
No, he was just a fucking idiot.
Just an idiot.
He tied her hands wrong and she broke free and then she fought him and he said she fought like a hellcat. Like, she tore fucking shreds out of him. Yeah, it was Vicky. Vicky actually scratched his face to the point that he still had a small scar after he was caught.
Good girl, Vicky.
From her scratching him. So, yeah, she genuinely did tear shreds out of him, but he eventually got the better of her and he pinned her down to the ground, tied her up again... and eventually strangled her with a nylon stocking. He said he doesn't think she was dead when he stopped. That the way he had her tied meant she was just consistently slowly strangling or suffocating to death. And he just left her there for that to happen. So, I don't know, there's something kind of disrespectful about it. If you're going to kill me, at least do it. Like, get it over with. Don't leave me slowly die of my own accord.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Either way, he took quickly some photos, like three... and then some trophies and he ran because he was worried that a neighbour had seen him through the window or heard the commotion because all of her house windows were open
mm-hmm.
because it was summer.
Right.
So he scarpered out of there and he took their car keys and took their car and fled. And on his way, Gordon Vegele briefly noticed a car that looked just like his own gold Monte Carlo driving past him on his way home to have lunch with his wife.
Fuck's sake.
He literally missed him by minutes.
That's fucking sick.
Minutes.
That's fucking sick.
He went and he switched vehicles, changed his clothes, the usual thing. And then he went back to work after what he described as a long lunch hour, as if nothing at all had happened.
I'm just taking a long lunch. Why, what were you doing, Dennis?
Do you know what I mean? What was his excuse? Did he just go back and tell the boss, like, oh, sorry, I had Chipotle for lunch and
it ran through me.
The worst case of the shits.
Shit through the eye of an eel. Honestly, arse like a chewed orange.
It's truly, I don't know how he got away with having... Is this why, like, people can't call out sick anymore? Is it because of the likes of fucking Dennis Rader?
I'm just going to go ahead and say yes.
Yes, we're blaming Dennis for the fact that it's illegal to call in sick at work now. But I digress. He would have more potential victims over the next 2 years, but no time or opportunity to carry them out. And he must have been missing it because when a murder occurred where a father was shot and a 16-year-old and a 9-year-old were found dead in the basement, one bound and strangled and the other bound and drowned in a tub of boiling water.
Fuck.
He wrote a letter, drew a picture and wrote a poem to show his appreciation of the crime, and he sent it to the victim's house for their mother to read.
One, you dirty... sad, balding, beady-eyed bitch of a man. You are foul. But also, did you think he was looking up to you? Did you think he was a fanboy?
I think he definitely thought that. I do. I think he thought that this killing was done as a nod to him. Yeah, he said, like, oh, I never meant to cause their mother any distress. I just wanted to stir the shit with the police.
Then why? Send it to the police then.
Yeah, why would you send it to her, to their fucking mother, who has to deal with a dead husband and two dead daughters? And now you're going to send, like, your fucking poem about it.
Badly written and misspelled at that.
Absolute fucking dickhead. Like, I was, ugh. Because that's like Albert Fish territory, and it just, it fucking boiled me to no
end.
It's
like that little bitch Mary Bell, to rocking up to people's houses, being like...
Oh, can they come out to play when they've just fucking murdered someone? Yeah.
When you know that you fucking killed them.
Don't mention her, Cuiva. We have a rule.
She curses us.
She does.
She breaks the podcast. Touch all the wood you can find. Fuck you, bitch. You're not cutting us off. We're almost at the end. Finally, in late 88, his company was downsized by a new owner and Denny lost his job. And that meant that Paula became the primary breadwinner of the house again. And Dennis's ego very much did not enjoy a woman having that much control. And he said he would mentally mark women like that who were like breadwinners or like the main support in their family household. So basically the man's role. And he would earmark them as people who he would need to dominate, torture and kill. Oh, so he particularly didn't like strong women because they upset his fragile masculinity.
Dennis, just say a tiny dick and move on. Just say it.
Truly.
Just say it.
I'm honestly, surprised that Paula didn't become a victim.
Just say it.
Just admit it to yourself. That's the part that'll help. It's healing. Yeah, at this point, he's pushing 50. And that makes it difficult to get a new job. And that gave him an awful lot more free time to be living in his fantasy world at the same time. So as long as he was out of the job, he wanted to kill more, apparently.
Fair.
In 1990, 4 years since his last successful kill... Dennis felt he needed to prove to himself once more that he was the elite killer he thought himself to be.
Embarrassing, like, I actually... It's like everything he does is just fucking cringe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is when he set his sights on Dolores Davies, who was a 64-year-old grandma. After stalking her, he set the kill date for January 1991. Couldn't find a way in, so this time he smashed the window. And this is where he did a big fuck up. So he smashed the window with the butt of his gun and it fell. He didn't fucking notice and he left it there.
Oh. How do you not notice something that heavy hitting the ground?
The only benefit of the doubt I can give him is that Dolores obviously came running the fuck out to see what was going on. So presumably he probably did but forgot because he was too busy trying to talk her out of like immediately calling the police.
Yeah.
But that's the only way I can suss it, that like you would forget a fucking gun on the ground. But yeah, so he's clearly getting desperate for any sort of victim at this point as well, because he's not really following his usual victim type at all anymore. Like, besides the age, he said he originally mistook Dolores for a man because she wore her hair short. So, no tea, no shade to Dolores, but he literally, like, had this, like, death to all pretty girls thing. And now he's going for kind of, you know, your butch masculine type of woman.
Mm.
And it seems that she just happened to be the only person who was actually on her own.
Fucking Christ.
He told her that he was on the run and he needed her car and some food and he would leave her alone. Obviously, he bound and strangled her instead. And what was really sad is she kind of started to believe him at the end after she was tied up, that he really was just taking food and stuff and leaving.
Oh God.
She asked him, she was like, I got some new shoes. Would you mind taking them in out of the car before you take it? And he did. Knowing he was going to fucking kill her, he still brought her in the shoes. Why
does he do shit like this?
So after he killed her, he did the same thing. He took the body and loaded it into her own car. And then he did his usual covering of the tracks by switching vehicles, changing his clothes, and then risked going back to the house for the gun that he dropped like a big fool. After that, he searched for a barn that he had picked to take pictures in, but he couldn't find it in the dark, so he just settled on dumping the body under a bridge and coming back to take pictures of it later if he felt like it.
I can't roll my eyes anymore. If I do, I'm going to either go cross-eyed or going to fall out my fucking head.
Honestly. So after Dolores Davies was found, the police had more evidence to suggest this murder and Maureen Hedges' murder were connected and likely seemed to be committed by BTK as well. Just a raise in age and change of location that had almost successfully thrown them off of his scent. After her, Dennis almost did us the service of killing himself, or so he says. But
sure.
With the lame excuse of Paula not being left any life insurance payout if he killed himself, he forgot all about killing himself and found himself a job as a compliance officer instead. So he was kind of like embarrassed that it was low level law enforcement, but at least it was a job.
Oh, fuck off, Dennis, will you?
Apparently he like did such great changes and all of this, he made the position worth something. And
employee of the month one time,
and you're the best thing,
and that's only because everybody else in the office has already got it and they didn't want to start showing favorites, so everybody gets it like once each.
It's actually every second month it's the new guy. It's always the new guy. But yeah, so for the next few years, Dennis was still trolling and stalking, but never managed to pull off a successful hit. And as people like the Green River Killer, Gary Ridgway, and the especially fucked up story Quiva will be covering next week of the Toy Box Killer.
Well, I actually changed my mind. I don't want to do it either. I changed my mind. No.
Oh, really?
I will do it, but I don't fucking want to.
Oh.
It was one case that, like, from Jump that I was like, I want to do it because it's so fucked up, but...
But you forgot just how fucked up it actually is.
I hadn't... Yeah. I don't think at the time I didn't realise how much it actually takes out of you fucking talking about it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So now I'm dreading it. But anyways, it needs to be done because...
Yeah, he admired a lot to do with the Toy Box Killers as well. He thought they had a lot in common and he liked the idea of subduing them the way he did. But yeah, aside from that, Dennis was getting nervous now. Because if DNA could bring down Ridgway, then it could do the same to him, since he had left DNA at least 3 crime scenes. 2 lots of jip and a couple of fucking skin flakes under... Vicky's nails. He started to downsize his collection of murder trophies, but not all, since he still had the narcissistic dream of leaving evidence that he was BTK to be found after he died. So unlike Jack the Ripper, everyone would know that he had been the one to get away with it. He was BTK. He was the one who had been so clever. Genuinely, his reasoning for keeping some of his stuff was so that it could be found after his... Like, you can't make this up.
Anyway.
So alas, presumably if he couldn't kill, then tormenting the police would have to do. In March of 2004, he sent a letter to the police with Vicky Vegele's driving license and 3 Polaroids of her bound. Bill Thomas Kilman was back sending letters 30 years after Christ. His first 4 kills. Yep.
Like, actually cut as a brick.
He also had another one, which I didn't bother to write down, but it was Thomas B. Kerman or something like that.
Is it?
That was his other one, but they all were just BTK. Like, they were just all BTK.
Idiot.
So he sent 2 more codes, one of them to Cake TV, which was his absolute favourite one because they covered his murder the best as far as he was concerned. And the other one was hanging off a road sign labelled BTK Fieldgram. So like telegram, but in a field.
It's just so silly and goofy.
So random.
And all of these, they just, they were just full of crack. Like, they were admitting to certain murders and shit like that. But like, it was just BTK bullshit, right? Yeah. Bullshit. I'm not going to go into what they contained because it's just not important. You can hear that in every single other podcast about BTK, just not ours.
Mm-hmm.
The next correspondent warned police that the games were over and he had found a new victim. And he actually had, which he called Project Boardwater. Apparently she either lived next to a boarding school.
Oh my God,
or she was a broad who lived next to water, which was actually Broadwater. But there's no actual clear indication about what he actually planned to call this one. But either way, it was shit.
Fucking Christ.
Project Broadwater was to be, or Boardwater, was to be his magnum opus. He planned to make it his most disturbing murder of all, binding the woman upside down in her doorway, binding or covering her head with a plastic bag and locking it onto the side of the doorway so that she slowly suffocated, and then raping her. Fully raping her. Oh, save that for just 2 seconds, because part of that plan also included covering her bed with multiple jars of semen that he had been saving up.
Oh, excuse me.
He had been saving his jizz for months.
Ew.
Possibly even...
That is so gross. Could you imagine the smell off of that?
Oh my God.
Oh, stop.
Could you actually... Like, that shit is fucking paint stripper at the best of times.
And he's letting it ferment.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up, Lizzie.
Oh.
No. I feel like I read the detail that he froze it.
Freezing this?
But how much is he making that he needs to...
Jars?
He wanted enough to completely soak the bed through with semen.
So what? He would, like, add...
Yeah, he'd basically wank into a jar anytime he was having a
And then
a
would put
and
it into the freezer, so it was like layers of different layers of fresh...
But then he's going to have to defrost
presumably.
It. Like, there's a lot to this. Man can't barely carry around a fucking kill kit, let alone multiple jars of semen.
Listen, I'm going to go with the universe where he lied and he hadn't actually started saving his chip. It was just an idea he had.
Yeah, I don't...
We're just going to go with that reality. We know he did it. We know he did. But we're going to pretend he didn't.
Fuck's sake.
Even though he knew that meant that he would be leaving a fuck ton of DNA evidence behind, because DNA evidence was finally becoming relevant in police investigations now.
I wonder what...
He knew that would leave, like, a bunch of evidence behind, but they didn't have anything linking him.
I wonder, does wood freezing damage...
No, because, like, obviously it's done in proper freezers and not just that, but as far as I know, you can, like, get your own sperm samples and keep them at home as well.
Okay.
If you know you're freezing your sperm so that you can have children later on after, like, a vasectomy and stuff.
Hmm.
True, I forgot about the whole vasectomy thing.
Yeah. So I don't know how, like, slow freezing it would have had an effect on it, but mostly, no, I'm sure it would have been fine. But yeah, he didn't care about the multitudes of DNA that'd be left behind, because he also had a plan, which then in that case, why soak the bed and come in the first place? But anyway, his plan was to lace a load of cloths with propane and lay them on cellophane wrap, and then have a very short candle that would, like, burn away within, let's say, an hour.
Oh, for fuck.
And that would then catch the propane on fire and burn the house down. So, giving him enough time to be miles and miles away. He picked the day finally to do it, which was sometime in December. I can't quite remember exactly the date, but it's not important because it never happened. He chose to do it when there were maintenance men on the streets. And because of that, he missed his window of opportunity. Because this woman only came home from work for half an hour to get her lunch break, and then she would go back out.
What an idiot.
So he had that half hour to do all of this to her in, or well, at least capture her in, and he missed the opportunity because of the maintenance men that were on the street. Thank God for them maintenance men. No matter, he would try again in the spring, or so he thought. He thought he'd aim for someone around March, because then he could use the excuse that he was going fishing to cover up that he was going off doing crime.
He's such a sad case. Like, I think I'm going to have a summer wedding.
Such a sad case.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least he had the common sense to think of reasonable excuses as to why he was out of the house at all times to his wife.
Yeah, true.
You know?
He could pretend he has a gambling problem.
Yeah.
I'm like, would you not just be like, oh yeah, sure, I'm going over to my old fucking friend from high school.
But also, who the fuck are you to be asking me questions? You're only my wife. Just act like, just be a dickhead. And like, what's she going to do? She's not going to assume you're a fucking murderer.
Honestly, what I was
just
thinking.
Just tell her to fuck off.
Do you know, you're going for a walk in the park for an hour or something. Like, does he never get to leave the house without her full know-abouts and permission? Maybe, after all the weird shit he put her through, she probably did get like that. I mean, she knew. She knew as well. She just didn't want to know. Because she noticed that, like, the spelling mistakes that BTK was making were very similar to the ones that Dennis makes.
Oh, so it wasn't just to throw off the police then as well?
No. Not if you ask his fucking wife. But she was like, you know, what are the chances that I fucking live in the house with BTK? Like, she just played it off. She was like, no way, there's no way. But yeah, he was going to do it in the spring. And in the meantime, the letters were still coming. And that included some packages as well, which there were toy dolls made to look like Nancy Fox and Josephine Otero as they had been murdered, as well as chapters for the book that he thought should be written about him.
Oh.
Including the chapter titles. He wanted there to be 13.
Oh,
because it might have been other people's unlucky number. But for me, it was lucky because it contained a 3.
He's so embarrassing. Like, he's actually so embarrassing.
Oh my god.
And you're about to say that again by the time I reach the end of this page, and I promise you that with full strength in my chest, because yeah, we'll get there. Sorry, getting ahead of myself. The details that he was given for the book that should be written about him, they were made up. He wanted to give BTK a different background than he had actually had, because he thought it made him more, you know, understandable as a killer. So he said that, like, oh, his mother had caught him, like, not even caught him masturbating, but, like, saw jizz stains on his underwear or something, and, like, bet the shite out of him because of it. And he was like, it was strange, even though it hurt, Sparky liked it.
Oh, ew, ew.
And again, none of this ever happened.
No, of course not.
And he also tried to say that, like, he would lie in bed with his mother and she would just be lying there in underwear and she would, like, make him stroke her hair.
Ew.
And that's, like, so he's basically trying to say that his mother started BTK. It was his mother's fault. None of it was true. Fucking little sad puppy. So this, again, this is why I get pissed off at the other people who are trying to excuse him by saying there had to have been something. There did not have to have been something. We like it better when there was something because we can understand it better.
Yeah, when you're born,
but
a freak,
it never
you're
happened.
Born a freak.
Nature versus nurture. We keep going on about it. While there is generally an aspect of both, it can just be entirely nature.
Yeah.
Finally, the letters made him sloppy. One that he had left at the Home Depot helped ID the car that the killer was driving. So obviously they didn't know it was him, but you know. They saw the dark SUV and they're like, okay, this is the cunt who dropped off the letter.
Mm.
We can't see what he looks like, but we know what car he's driving. And that was a major breakthrough for them. But in that letter that they collected from Home Depot, well, that contained the dumbest question known to man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was, if he communicated through floppy disk, would the police be able to trace it? Be honest.
As if the police would try to end a 30-year reign of fucking strife and terror by lying. Like, of course they'd never dare do that, Dennis, because they're upstanding men. Like,
no. Just now that you've told them to be honest, it's like that thing of, like, are you a cop? You have to tell me if you're a cop. No, they don't, first of all. And you ask them to be honest will not make them be honest. Imagine that.
Imagine doing as you're asked. Like, those poor people ask you not to kill them, you know? And you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like that, Dennis.
Like, sad for you. Sad for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the police were, yeah, obviously not honest. And they said, no, of course it can't be traced. He told them to write, Rex, it will be okay, in the personal ads in the paper. And if they did that, then he would send a test floppy after that. Now, why Rex?
Is it?
Why Rex, guys? Why
is
do you
it because maybe the whole X for sex 3-letter thing?
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Are we onto something?
I can't believe you've got that.
Oh my God.
Because it was just right. Such a secret code.
No
you
way.
You really are. The only thing you're missing out on, which, to be honest, I don't blame me, because there's so much thought behind it. There's so much wonder and
or
mysticism. Is that it's, obviously, it was a cross between sex and red. The colour of danger and blood.
Ew.
I actually couldn't even take that, but I couldn't roll with it. What the fuck?
Fucking sad sack.
Danger and rage.
So
honestly, I'm only because I keep clocking my own hand moving in like the bottom screen where my camera is for me. I have never done Italian hands as much as this fucking story. Because I'm like.
Oh red and. Or no, was it? Danger and blood.
Red and sex. Danger and blood.
And McDonald's.
Like, imagine being so silly.
Yes, silly he was, because he sent the fucking floppy disk on its way. Because he was fully convinced that the police wouldn't lie to him. He was like, well, they said it's okay, so it must be okay.
Like, Dennis, you actually need to get a hard grip.
Get a grip on something other than your dick, honestly. They finally had him. They found his name in the metadata of the floppy disk. And then they got a subpoena for his daughter's DNA from her college clinic where she had been treated before and matched it to the crime scenes where the DNA was left behind. Then they got search warrants for his car, house and offices. And that's when they went in first. These boys, the hot dog squad may have fucked up on an awful lot, but they made sure at the end when they knew they had him dead to rights, they were not fucking up on a single technicality.
They wouldn't want to.
They were getting him.
Not being funny.
Because like they were heading for him before. And the chief of police stopped them. They were like, no, get back here, turn back around. We're not going for him yet. And it was because they didn't have everything that they needed. I think it was they only had like his name and like proof that he had sent the floppy, but they didn't have the DNA yet. I think that was it. So he was like, no, no, we're waiting until we have fucking everything. And obviously the police were fuming because they were dying to get him. But he was absolutely right. Wait until you have him. Dead to rights. Like, he was a slippery little cunt. Like, I would have done the same. That's when they surrounded him on his way home at noon. And all he said was, can someone tell my wife I won't be home for lunch?
Oh my fucking God.
What? So after a while of trying to play cat and mouse, which was 3 hours. For 3 hours, he tried to deny that he was BTK.
Sorry to interrupt. All they would have to do is ask him to spell the word calm.
Obviously. C-L-A-M.
Like, I think that's a crustacean. Are you sure?
I didn't even mean clam. You don't know about clam springs.
Yeah. Oh my God, he would definitely pull some shit like to try and rationalise why he spelled it the way that he did.
Would. No, he definitely would. There's symbolism. You just don't understand.
You're just not smart like
you
me.
Get it. Dennis is 77 now, still sitting in prison, trying to convince people that he's a good guy with a dark side that he couldn't help, and trying to hold on to the idea of a legacy as one of the most elusive serial killers of all times, when the truth is he was nothing but a simple fool writing shit poems who's remembered mostly for getting caught in the dumbest way possible. And I think I can say with absolute confidence that if he started killing 10 or 20 years later without the cape of more sophisticated killers and lack of technology keeping him safe, then he would have been caught faster than he could say Sparky Go Walkies.
Oh, 110%.
The end.
Thank God, because if I had to listen to another minute of this insufferable, foul...
If I had to fucking get one more connection between something that ends in X and sex... I swear to God.
It was just so... It just did not make sense. No matter what way he tried to spin it, it just did not make sense. At all.
No, there was no justification to it. And this is what I mean. I truly believe he only started killing for the glory.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to be remembered as something other than mediocre. We went through it. His whole life was average. He was nothing more than average, ever. So he wanted to
Dennis,
be like... extraordinary. He wanted to be like the serial killers he was reading about. So he tried and he fucked it up. Even as a serial killer, he was less than average. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Oh, he was, yeah.
So I'm really fucking happy that's the legacy he's leaving behind, because it's the exact opposite of what he wanted. And if that's not justice...
I don't know what
is. And that is the wild, wild story of Dennis Rader, the self-named bind, torture, kill killer.
So embarrassing.
Oh, of course he was self-named as well, like.
Like, imagine not even having the patience to let the newspapers give you a catchy name, because the newspapers will give you a catchy name. They have to. That's how they sell copies of the newspaper.
Here's some suggestions. Dennis, how about no?
Here's like 7 ones that I like. And the fact that he gave the 13 chapters of his own book and their titles that they should be.
As if anybody would listen to him. Big of him to assume that they'd actually listen to him and be like, all right, yeah, no bother then. It doesn't matter.
You know what I mean? But this is the thing. He threw a hissy fit because it wasn't mentioned. And like you said, because the poems weren't fucking published and stuff, he would throw a hissy fit any time the media or the police didn't do something that he thought they should do for him.
Absolutely.
If they didn't bolster his image enough.
Fucking.
Or to give enough coverage on the murders.
Simple. Simple cunt.
And then, like, I didn't mention it again in the main story because I knew I'd bring it up right at the end, but he started taking credit for shit that he didn't even do as well. Just to piss the police off.
Dennis, you're right.
Like, there was a young fella called Jake who was found bound to a train track, and they couldn't figure out how Jake had died. And, like, fucking BTK wrote a poem about it and said that, like, basically he had convinced Jake in, or Jakey, as he disrespectfully referred to him in the letters, to come and pretend to be, like, or play bait, basically, to catch BTK.
Oh my God.
And then he had, like, you know, tied him to the thing, and that he had raped him and all of this. None of it had ever happened. Jay killed himself.
She's a fucking idiot.
He just did it to torment everyone. And he's like, oh, I don't know why I did it. I just thought it'd be kind of funny. Like, what? What?
Dennis, all you have to do is tell people... Actually, not even tell people anything. Just have a conversation with them and they're going to realise that the funniest thing about you is your actual entire existence. Like, you are an embarrassing fool.
You are a one-man clown fiesta.
Yeah.
Like...
There's no need for a joke. You fucking are one.
That's him. That's how he ended. I mean, there was a trial. But we all know what happened. He was found guilty.
Yeah.
So he's going into the trial. Yeah, he's still there. You can write him letters and hear his fucking pandering about how he's a good guy with a dark side and just puts on a black hat every now and again, all you want.
What I wouldn't give for the three of us to get into that giddy mood that we were in a couple of minutes ago and just have a one-on-one.
You Max Brandon looking motherfucker.
I feel like the thing that would really cut him deep though is like one of us going, ew, that's
embarrassing. And it wouldn't be a proper laugh, it'd be a giggle. And I feel like the giggle would get him more.
Like,
what's the point? Like, he thought he was going to live in glory and go down as this, like, infamous fucking serial killer. Like, yeah, people talk about you, but purely because you're a weirdo.
It is nothing to do with the murders that he ends up being spoken about. It's the delusions.
The gall, the gumption, the notions of this
fucking
man.
Notions is right.
Idiot.
But yeah, that's it. He's over now. We did it.
Boulabus.
Definitely wasn't one of the harder fucking series to get through, let's be honest.
Boulabus for BTK. For being an embarrassing fucking fool. Fucking sad kid.
And yeah, so we get the honour now next week of going through the story of one of his heroes of the time. And that is the two sick fucks responsible for the toy box. And if you tell me that that bitch was an innocent fucking bystander like she tried to say she was.
No.
We'll get into it. We'll get into it. But it's not happening. I'm saying it now, an episode ahead. To prepare everyone for the I don't fucking believe it. Because fuck you, you lying little bitch.
Yeah. No, Savannah. You need to change that. Yes, call her a bitch. You're missing a very vital... Actually, two very vital words before the word bitch. And that's exactly what she is.
Is it Rat Bag or Big Bird?
Oh, no. No, Big Bird is specifically for Moira Hindley. Specifically for that Big Bird bitch.
Because I wasn't sure. I'm trying to remember, did she have Moira Hindley hair? So no, I was like, no, for some reason my brain was like...
That's for Moira, and that's for Moira alone.
Lying Big Bird bitch.
No, no.
Do you know why? It's because Moira did the same fucking shit as this one.
True, but no.
In the sense of lying through her fucking teeth, cover her own
it's arse. Rat Bag.
But yeah.
And you need to say it with your whole fucking chest. Bitch. You can't have arse a Rat Bag, bitch. You actually can't.
We're cutting it off here. We're going to have a nice quick getaway because Toy Box is going to be a lot next week and I need at least this amount of time to mentally prepare myself.
Yes.
So that's it.
Right.
Lizzie?
Mm-hmm.
You said you had a story for us?
No, only really that I got pissed on, you know. That was it, really.
Ah, you prematurely gave it to us.
Yeah, if I wasn't going to, but the fact that McDonald's did me so dirty with my order, I was spewing. I was mad.
Fully understandable, because I would have been
I was very upset.
We have successfully done this podcast. We'll see everyone next week. I'm having a nervous breakdown. Positive vibes and negative tests, and always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our ankles.